Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Alves, joined in the dugout from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And from an even safer distance on the dugout phone, my pal Chris Zook.
I like that, Brian. Before we came on, a little bit lower energy, but man, you once that red light went on, you're ready to go. Let's go.
I am
Let's
a professional, go. Zook. I'm here for business.
I've never disputed that ever, Brian. Never disputed that.
Here for the baseball.
And, oh, yeah.
Hey, and baseball is a good cure for everything, no matter what's going on in the world.
Of course it is. Yeah.
We got some baseball to talk about.
Yeah, and the upside of, you know, watching Major League Baseball, we never had a local Major League team to not be able to go watch. So it hasn't changed for us, no matter the COVID numbers or vaccination numbers in the city. I do want to tip my cap to start things off to the Major League Baseball Player of the Week, Corbin Burnes, just simply for the fact that he has 40 strikeouts and no walks to start
this
the season.
It's an insane run. It's an insane run, isn't it? Like, it's never happened to start the season this way.
No pitcher has had, like, I mean, there's been, you know, like high K performances, but it's usually like not married to a like absolute dominant control of like no walks, right? Like it's the two in tandem that really makes this a special start.
Yeah.
Yes, I 100% agree. It's bananas. It's bananas, and I love it.
It is crazy a bit. And because what you're seeing here, you're seeing actually some really good pitching, some low games early on. And then you're seeing like the blowouts, right? You're seeing like the position players coming in and pitching at 47 miles an hour. And,
we should tip our cap to Williams Astudillo as well.
Yes.
Because I think who had the 50, was it Greinke who had the 51 mile an hour?
The Efis, yeah.
Yeah, the Efis, and then he beat it by four miles per hour. And it was also a strike that he threw in there too, he actually got all three outs on 9 pitches. So he was probably their best pitcher that night.
Well, I mean, if we want to get into the Twins and their struggles, I'm okay with us talking about it. And I mean, this last stand against
we get to avoid
Oakland.
The Blue Jays and their struggles.
Okay, we'll get there eventually. But yeah, no, the Twins, after a good start, have really fallen off a cliff. And this last stretch against Oakland really was kind of like the cherry on top of the poop sundae. Because they like
don't
lost
order
in
that at the BDI. Let
no,
me tell you,
that's not something they that. Serve. But
it's the goo like, you want, not the poop. You want
the way
goo.
In which they lost each of those games, and you know, like Byron Buxton hits this homer to you know make things tie things up and give them a chance, and then they go to extra innings, and then you've got like bad defensive plays. You got Alex Colome falling apart again. Like he has had some serious struggles.
Awful.
Horrible.
He's been really terrible.
And it just, I mean, part of the issues with the Twins has been COVID. You know, this is a team that's been hit pretty hard. Like Simmons, they started their series. They were supposed to play against the Angels. Those games got postponed just last weekend, and then they did end up playing. But they're now six players, I think, on the COVID IL, either as like have COVID or are, you know, considered close contacts. Not only the players, but some of the like player personnel, team related folks. They have like, they're rostering currently four catchers because their like taxi squad is so depleted. And that's why Williams Astudillo ended up coming in and pitching in one of the games, right? Like this is, I mean, it's great. I love La Tortuga, and to see him pitch is a super fun thing. And you get the like web gem of those like 47 mile an hour heaters, but that shouldn't happen with a club like this.
Well, it's happening when you're losing by like 10 or 15 runs at the bottom of the eighth or ninth inning. But that's how that happened. It doesn't help that also one of the players, I believe Simmons?
Andrelton, yep.
Yeah, that he decided not to get the vaccine. So they don't know if he was the cause, but that doesn't help when the vaccine is available. I believe they were available for their organization and the team that, and who knows how this spreads a bit, right? I mean, this can happen even if you have a vaccine, right? If it just, it doesn't, still takes 2 weeks to kind of give you more immunity to it. But it's all no good. I mean, it's interesting. I also read the Yankees, they feel like the sky is falling, you know, like Boone's on the chopping blocks already. It's the worst start they've had.
Oh, my dad is.
You know, he must be apoplectic. He must be apoplectic, right?
Because I get a text every 2 days about how bad Boone is and how soft Stanton is, and it's just it's crazy.
Sure. I mean you know, let's, you know, are the Red Sox going to stay number one in that division? Probably not, but
they're hitting a lot.
Yeah, sure they are. I mean if they play at 10 o'clock in the morning every time, that'll help them too, right? But I don't know. I mean, it's April, right? I think we can overreact for this month because it's April and things, you know, either they regress back to sort of the norms, or this becomes more of a pattern. I mean, Brian, you can talk more about the Jays woes a bit here, but yeah, I mean, it never helps at the start of the season, because that's where you can panic, because you're like, well, let's, you know, we're four games behind now, but we could be eight games behind.
It's just a lot of injuries, Zook. It's just injuries, sure, right?
Like, yeah, yeah. I mean,
their entire bullpen, which started out the year red hot and looking really good, everybody's getting injured. Getting injured. Romano's injured. Obviously, Kirby Yates is injured.
Merriweather
got injured. You know, Dolis has shown signs of potential injury here or there. Like, it's
it's tough.
It's rough.
I mean, their bullpen was already a kind of a makeshift a bit, especially after Yates went down before the season started for
the
Jays.
But it started out looking good. I was surprised at how good they looked and how deep they were.
I will say this, and we'd alluded to this many, many moons ago, but there might be some help on the way. I just saw we tape on Thursday night, but it looks like George Springer might be going to inter squad this weekend to try and.
I just hope he doesn't rush
his
back.
Rehab. No, I don't think they will. Right? I mean, I think that's if you're the Jays, right, you're putting him in inter squad just to kind of get him going there and see how he's doing before, right, you know, you go towards the next thing. I mean, it's sort of like, you don't want to have it like Byron Buxton, right, where, you know, Michael would know all about this, but Buxton had about, you know, every time that guy is just a walking IL guy, right? Like, I mean, he's just
been good this year.
I was gonna say, I gotta knock on some wood right now.
Knock on some wood, because he was out for a couple games, and then anytime he's out for more than a game, right, you gotta worry about him. But yes, this team, like the Jays, they haven't been fully operational, you know, since day one. But yeah,
at least we're not the Yankees.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. No, I mean, actually, I mean, they're not, you know, the Jays aren't in last place. So they've got that. And Baltimore, you know, right there. So you're going to be, you know, you're going to be in the mix at least for a wild card, I think. I mean, it's still there. I mean,
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, it's April, right? It's April. Oh, there's lots of games. We got 140 games still to go.
We're 10% of the way through the season. So one little piece about Alex Colomé, just
I sneezed.
Oh, okay.
Backing the train up to the Twins for a quick second. Aaron Gleeman, staff writer for the Athletic, for covering the Twins. Alex Colomé's current -1.8 win probability added is the worst in the history of baseball for a reliever's first seven appearances with a team. He had been among the WPA leaders throughout his career, ranking second among all right-handed relievers from 2016 to 2020. So something is not right. I mean, obviously he has struggled, but whether there's like...
I used to really rate him and he... But
so have they diagnosed anything? Have they thought they might want to, you know, I don't know, like just not play him for a while, or as I don't know where the what you.
Well,
do
I mean,
now.
Rocco Baldelli like has continued to speak in support of Colomé and not suggest there's anything.
So he's going to have to pitch his way out of it, is what he's saying.
It seems like it, yeah, and I mean.
So that war could go. That could go down. Wins a
WPA. Yeah.
WPA. So he could still get lower. Could still go more negative.
It certainly could. Yeah. So okay. So I was reading a piece that Dan Hayes actually wrote, kind of wrapping up the Oakland trip for the Twins, and you know, the underlying thing, I mean, obviously working with a depleted roster and having to make some decisions, but Baldelli, you know, did in his quotes take full responsibility for the most recent loss in the extra innings, in just in terms of like some of the defensive choices he made with Blankenship, who's been called up from the taxi squad playing defense because Josh Donaldson, they didn't want him risking getting hurt on a running play in late innings, and some other like kind of, I mean, obviously leaving Colomé in and coughing up the game. It did get me wondering, like, how much stock do we put in a manager and their ability to win a game versus to lose a game? Because I feel like winning
you
a game
to the Rays last year.
I think it's really hard for a manager
I think
to
it's
win
hard
a game.
For them to win a game, but
I think it's real easy for a manager to lose one.
And this was what I was thinking is like, yeah. You know, there's very rare are the circumstances where you're like, oh, that's the move that won them the game. If it's, you know, some sort of like defensive substitution or pinch hit situation or calling in a specific reliever versus the number of times we've seen a manager make. Like go to the pen. I mean, you think back to like the Zach Britton, you know, like,
oh yeah, Ubaldo Jimenez,
right? Like that there's been like very clear circumstances.
I was at the station up until almost when that happened. I was back when the pity party was on Wednesday nights. I don't know if you guys remember. And I booked it home from the station, blowing through every single, speed sign. I was probably doing about 120 down Bishop. Cops, don't be listening to this. And I got back literally just in time to watch Edwin smash that home run. And I was like, wow, he got that off Britton? And then they showed the replay. And I was like, oh my God, that's Ubaldo. What are they doing?
Right. And so like any
circumstance. Even if you don't know anything about, you know, a lot of the intricacies of baseball, you're like, why isn't Zach Britton in the game? Right, like, you know,
if you're
as
a casual
layman,
baseball fan,
like,
there was so
right,
much talk that he should have won the Cy Young that year. So
right,
why is he not in the game?
Right, he was up there as not only the best player, maybe the best pitcher of the American
yes,
League.
And, yes, and there was a lot of talk about that.
Yeah, nowhere near that. Yeah, I mean,
and then last year with Blake Snell,
the World Series.
Yeah,
Blake Snell. I mean, to this day, Blake Snell still like is I
he's
think
he's really mad about it. Still.
He should be, and he should be, and so should the Rays fans because we'll never know if he just stays in the game. And that's also it's more obvious when it's a bad mistake. You know what I mean? Like because there are probably little decisions that are made. You know, position play or the shift, right? You know where you know we don't because those kind of add into a game to maybe get a win. Well, it is much more evident that a manager blows it by not making a move, pull a starter, pull a reliever, position player comes in, or you put in the wrong. It's much more obvious when it's a loss, right? So, you know, I'm sure managers can say, yeah, you know, I did X, Y, and Z to get us a win, but it doesn't quite, doesn't have that, you know, that impact when you can see, hey, that reliever should have been in the game, or that reliever should not have been in that game.
There's just no receipts for the win, whereas it's very obvious.
I think it's also more sometimes it's incremental. The only, sometimes you could see, like, if they bring in a pinch hitter, let's say, or a pinch runner, right? Someone would say that, you know, if you're a Red Sox fan, you'd be like, now I'm going to lose it here. Who's the manager of the Dodgers right now?
Dave Roberts?
Dave Roberts, yeah.
Roberts, right? Roberts comes in, right, steals the base, changes the whole series there against the Yankees, and they go on to win in 2004, right? They're down 3-0, steals the base. He becomes a pinch runner, right? And then right. They win the game. And you know what I mean? Like there's stuff where, you know, or someone comes in pinch hits and he hits a walk-off to win the game, right? Then you go, well, the manager knew what he was doing there. Well, sometimes you get lucky too, right? And sometimes you get unlucky when you do, you know, But that said, is I think it's still much more obvious when a manager over manages, right?
I mean, we all know that I kneel at the temple of Billy Beane, quite heavily. I mean, he said before that front offices win regular season games, good managers win postseason games.
Meaning the team that's built is yeah. what gets you through the regular season.
But you know, you got to manage your way around the BS in the playoffs.
Well, I think it's also because in the playoffs, everything becomes more pronounced, right? Because every situation, especially if you're in a short series, all those moves are bigger, right? Because there's more impact. Because in a 162, you can kind of get, I mean, you know, we could talk about this a month from now, Michael, and then the Twins will be back in first place and no one's going to remember April, right? But everyone will remember Blake Snell forever if you're a Rays fan or a Blake Snell. You know what I mean? Like they'll right. forever remember that because of the importance of it, right? Like in the flip side, like yeah, I mean, just you know, those things just will always like. I mean, geez, let's go back to one of the biggest ones ever in history, Bill Buckner, right? Forever live with that until the Red Sox won. You know, he was put in as a position player. And people were like, why is he there, right? Well, if the ball never gets hit to him, no one ever cares about Bill Buckner. But it got hit to him. He didn't make the play. And, you know, forever he had to live with that because the manager put him in a position that, you know, they thought they were winning the World Series. And instead, they gave up the World Series, right? Well, so
it's too bad for Buckner that none of us remember who was manager that day, right? Like, I can't remember who the Red Sox manager was in that game. Nope. But yeah, I know no. Buckner is the heel.
How many old managers right, can you actually like?
I think it's
classic
McNamara.
Managers. Can you
I think
actually
that's McNamara.
Name?
I believe it's McNamara like, who is the manager.
Like, I can't name many old managers, right? Like I can think Lou Piniella. Hang on, Bobby
Tony
Valen-
La Russa.
Tony La Russa, Bobby Valentine. Who's the one? Billy Martin. He's the one.
Billy
that-
Martin. How about Sparky Anderson?
Buck Weaver.
Now Sparky, I loved.
Yeah. How about
Tommy Lasorda?
Tommy Lasorda. How about now I'm trying to
this is great because this is turning into an episode of Names.
Frank
guys.
Robinson.
How about what was the guy in Baltimore who was there forever?
Buck Weaver, wasn't it?
No, Weaver, but it wasn't Buck. It was something Weaver.
Earl
Weaver. There you go. But you're right. Yeah, I mean, those are in the days when managers stayed with the team for 10 or 15 years. Now, you know, you're lucky if you get 5 years with the manager, if that, right? So they go through them quite a bit more. Yeah, it's still, but I mean, you know, like they'll you're right. They might not remember the manager, but they'll remember that.
Oh, you're right. It was John McNamara.
Up. Oh, my God.
Oh, what a pull, Zook.
What a great job.
Are you kidding me?
How would I know that? That is crazy stuff.
What a pull.
Yeah, I don't know why I would remember that. I must have
tipping
tip
my
so-
cap to you. To
yeah,
forget
tip
Corbin
cap
Burns.
I don't even know about that. But I think that's a well point about sometimes you don't remember the manager, but you still remember the manager's decision,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
and I think that's where it's for. I mean, I'll go like we'll never know, but the Tampa Bay Rays, they get if they kept him roll, like they could have won that game. Then they would have been game seven. Then, well, actually, there might never have been a game seven because of the COVID, but that's another story, right? Probably Major League Baseball. Thank goodness they applaud that the Rays screwed that up, because they never would have to dealt with that fiasco. Because that would have been, we might have still been waiting for World Series, you know, game seven, you know, for all we know.
Yeah. Speaking of things that MLB has messed up, I've started listening to this incredible podcast done by sports writer Joan Neeson. I don't know. She's right. Done a whole bunch of really awesome stuff. She's doing this amazing podcast called Crushed, and it's all about the summer of 98 and like steroids in baseball. And it's an incredible podcast, and I definitely think it's worth listening to, and that you should listen to it. Okay. But that's not why I brought it up. One of the first things that she talks about in the show is like everyone can kind of remember when they first fell in love with baseball. And mine was actually during the summer of 98. It was during a Cubs Cardinals game earlier in the summer where both Sosa and McGuire started off the game tied at, I want to say, 48 home runs. And Sosa hit his 49th, and then McGuire hit both his 49th and 50th during that game, including a walk-off home run in extras. And I remember that was the day that I fell in love with baseball. And I was wondering if you guys remember the day that you guys fell in love with the game.
Holy.
Ooh. I'm not sure if I do at this point. I don't know if I've like tied it back to one specific, like, I mean, I can remember, like, I know, like, it was around like 84 that I was about 8 years old and can remember, like, you know, starting to collect baseball cards and stuff, that was important to me. I don't think there was like one particular game that did it for me, right? But I know that, like, I can kind of chart it back to that 84 season.
Oh, I can tell you vividly. This goes back a bit more even there, but it always goes back to the Expos for me, right? You know, my nucleus is Gary Carter, Andre Dawson, Ellis Valentine, Warren Cromartie, and Steve Rogers, right? And Steve Rogers gives up a home run to Rick Monday. And as much as that's like a negative, but I always fell in love with that team. We'll never know if that team could have gone there. So that's when I fell in love. But the one that crushed me was still, and it'll always be, will be 94. The strike here, the Expos had the best record as we went into the strike. And so these, I have two negatives about baseball, but there's a yin and yang always with baseball, right? And for me, that's what I sort of love about baseball, because you have the good with the bad all the time. Like, it's always there. It's always on the edge a bit. But yeah, I mean, I loved my Expos when I grew up, because they were like the Oilers of the 80s, right? It was the Expos.
And quite a bit less winning.
Well, no, I was just going to say, is the potential for that. And I think that's always the longing of why, I don't know why, I guess I cheer for these teams sometimes, but you just sort of long, it's sort of like the Cubs or the Red Sox or whatever, but you know, the Expos were always there. But yeah, I mean, I always would, you know, cherish those years, and that's sort of how I fell into them. And why would tomorrow, if the Expos came back, I'm signing up for season tickets, even though I live here.
You know, I think more personally, like for me, it might've been like, I remember watching my dad play like a beer league ball game when I was a little kid.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And it might've been like that really kind of first cemented it. Just like seeing,
did he hit a home run for you, Michael? Did he say, this one's going to Michael, and he pointed to the left field fence and knocked out a tater?
That would be wonderful. But no, I like, my dad was a great fielder and kind of like more of a, like a singles, like just line drive kind of guy.
A walk-off single to win the game? And everyone, you got your first beer that night, didn't you? Right.
Is first that beer. How that's, wow.
Yeah, it was a beer league, right?
My dad would not have let me have a beer.
Well, at eight?
I don't know. I mean, all bets are off in Winnipeg sometimes.
Not wrong.
Yeah, no. No, my father, the pediatrician, would not have let a little one, a child, drink a beer.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But it's I super recommend the podcast. It's called Crush.
Okay, I've added that
because
to my,
you know, the interesting thing
list.
about 98 is let's link to that for sure, Michael. Is that, you know, the interesting thing is that they had a 30 for 30 a little while ago on that, and you know, it's maybe because of sort of your age, Brian, a bit more. I love 98 because it did bring back baseball, because after the strike and. You know, really the only positive things after that was Cal Ripken's kind of quest to break Lou Gehrig's record. But it gets a bit, you know, I guess it's weird. It's just, such a great story.
I
about
still
that.
Don't
it's,
care about the steroids.
I understand.
I was
that.
A kid. I was
no,
a kid
no,
then.
No, no, no.
I was
I get that. I'm not saying
7 years old
saying,
during that summer.
I'm just saying
it seven.
Now in the hindsight of it, it's just that even yeah. baseball in its glory, then, you know, kind of screws it up. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you whatever. Right?
I guess.
It was,
I guess
yeah.
so.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
that's baseball over time too. Like,
sure. I mean, hey, Barry Bonds. We still have a home run king who is, you know, most people would put an asterisk beside, right? So,
yeah.
And not in the Hall of Fame, any of those three, or a lot more, right? You know, one of your best pitchers ever in history, Roger Clemens, probably won't not make it in as well, right? So, anyways, yeah. I mean, that's just, I mean, yeah. But yeah, I mean, hey, 98 for the pure sense of that was fantastic. I mean, who doesn't want to see they're pursuing a record that if you know nothing about baseball, you knew about the home run record, you knew about Babe Ruth and Roger Maris, and then whoever else was going to break that, right? And that seemed like an
unattainable. It was one of the best summers of my life, honestly.
It was unbelievable. I mean,
it was one of the best summers of my life.
And I was cheering for Sosa, right? I mean, people had their sides, right? You're picking Sosa or McGuire, or you're cheering the game, whatever, right? But what a great battle. I mean, you know, you'll never – people – Sosa hit 66 that year, and he mm-hmm. lost by four. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He lost by four.
I know exactly what you mean.
It's just unbelievable.
Summer will always be embedded in my mind. It was just incredible. It was incredible.
Michael, did you see this about the Baseball Digest? I don't have the computer onto it, but I don't know if you could look this up, but I wanted to tip a hat. Now, this seems a bit made up, but they had an inaugural Lifetime Achievement Award, and they gave it out to Willie Mays. So I don't know where this came about or whatever, but anytime you're celebrating Willie Mays and he's still kicking at 90 years old, that sounds like a good accomplishment. And
this is the like the Baseball Digest as in the magazine?
I guess, yeah. I guess it's still kicking. I just read that tonight, so I don't know where that came from, to be honest.
Yeah, but. San Francisco Chronicle headline says Willie Mays wins Lifetime Achievement Award from Baseball Digest. This is I'm just pulling the story up here.
I don't know if it's just on an online version now. I'm not even know where you can find the Baseball Digest, I guess. But there you go, Willie Mays being recognized again.
Yeah.
Best.
Good for him. I don't know if either of you read the story about the man with the most baseball cards on earth on MLB.com.
No, Matt, I didn't.
Matt Monaghan. I'll link to this in our show notes as well. Paul Jones. This is a guy whose parents took him to a minor league game when he was AAA Las Vegas Stars game when he was about like 8 or 9. And really great story that this kid is autistic and really found like a real joy in like reading and like collating the cards and stuff like that. His collection now, he is like, he's already set. He set a Guinness. He's set a Guinness World Record for it. But he wants to collect over a billion cards.
Where is he at right now?
He's in the millions, 2.8 million right now.
Oh my goodness. Okay. That is wow. Here's my first question. Where are you storing all those cards?
Like, well, this storage is definitely a
long box
for him. He's got long boxes, that's for sure. One of the most interesting cards he has is a Huntsville Stars Mark McGuire rookie card.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Which he bought for a nickel, apparently.
I think the other bigger question is, how much gum does he still have?
I hope he either ate all of it fresh or threw out all of it.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean,
but it's an interesting story. And yeah, like he's gotten autographs. He's gotten managed to like meet a bunch of players and stuff. He's just had a very interesting career.
That's a great story. I'd love to read that. That's fantastic.
Cool.
Before we go, I know Zook will want to know. Pity party.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, I put out the request for requests, so I want to try and do as many requests as possible. So if you've got something you want to hear, let me know.
Wow. Okay, like you're talking to us or just the general audience in the world?
Well, I mean, both. Hit me up. Okay. What do you want to hear, Zook?
I don't know. You tell me. What do you got? What's on the docket? So you don't have anything this week? I'm just
curious. Oh no, I always have lots every single week, but. Oh, I just want to, you know, what do you want to hear?
Oh, no. My music wouldn't fit the pity party.
Okay.
No. I mean, I'd give you one, but your stuff. I don't want to taint your pity party. You know what? Let me give you this. Give me a week to kind of come back. Can I try and give you a request next week?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. Good stuff. But would he give us a little,
you know, bit what? Of a I've got one for you.
Oh, nice.
Brand new Guided by Voices album just came out.
Okay.
There's a track called The Batman Sees the Ball.
Done.
Little baseball song.
I like that. I did say, remember I told you about my baseball thing, because I know you did that, but I was thinking you should do it by position. I still put that request in.
I can't. I tried. I looked.
No, you can't find them all, huh?
After you asked for that, I did. I looked up. And I can get
which positions? How many positions?
Well, I mean, there's obviously Piazza New York Catcher by the Bell and Sebastian, which you can do.
That's correct. I want to be your shortstop is another one that I've got that I can play. I want to be a shortstop.
Couldn't you just have the Simpsons theme from the one where they have Steve Sachs and Strawberry and all that? Don't they talk about all the positions?
Maybe, but yeah, Piazza New York Catcher is yes. I've got
there is a band called First Base Runner.
Yeah, center field, first base runner. I want to be your shortstop is another one. Relief pitcher is a track that I've got as well. There's another one that's called Ballad of the Bullpen Catcher.
There's got to be a song like about Pedro or something. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I played it last time. Yeah, I played it. There was a song about Pedro that I played during the baseball pity party.
There you go. All right. Well, good stuff. Well, so but you're missing. See, what I need to know is what position you're missing, so we can have people maybe.
There's a lot of positions I'm missing. A lot. Okay. Yeah, I think I've only got like a handful. So there's first base, catcher,
we need a shortstop,
catcher.
So it sounds
I've
we
got
need second and third.
We need second and third for sure, and then the corner outfield spots. And okay. Designated hitter if you're playing in the correct league.
That's fair enough. All right. Well, can't wait for the pity party. There you go. Well, and you've already got one request from Michael.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be playing a new track off of the brand new Antlers album, which is it's great. It's a
Green to Gold.
Really,
it's a great record. Yeah,
it's a really terrific record. So, I've already got that definitely lined up. But if you've got something else you want to hear, let me know.
That's awesome. That's good stuff.
Can't wait at 1 o'clock.
Can't wait.
In the meantime,
hey, let's play ball!
Oh my goodness, Zook.
Strike three, you're out!